It remains to be clarified. When you look at the second source on the sheet, it has the following, this is a pasuk in Bereshit, and has the following odd comment. It says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min Hadama. Now you know that the ancients were very concerned about the words that are used to denote creation. Right? The Kabbalists call them Abiyah. Aleph, Bet, Yud, Ayin. Right? Aleph, Bet, Yud, Ayin. Because each one of those letters stands for another word that was used in creation. So one of the words that's used in creation is to create something is Vayitzer. In fact, man was created with that verb. And the way they saw it, was that using words was of great importance, because that's how God created the world. God said, let there be light, but those were words. And the words turned into a reality. So the words that we used, one of the words that was used is Vayitzer, the Yud of Alephbet Yud Ayin. So Vayitzer, Hashem Elokim Min Hadama, God created from earth. Chayat Asadeh, et kol of Hashamayim, the animals of the field, I guess wild animals, Ofa Shamayim, the birds that fly around in heaven, Vayaveh El HaAdam, and he brought them all to man. Lirot Mayikralo, to see what they should be called. In other words, God created them, but they didn't have names. You couldn't talk about them. It was some kind of odd thing. If you can't talk about something, then it doesn't exist, I guess. This is a problem that philosophers dealt with in recent times. But it makes sense. Like, you know, if you can't talk about something, it makes some sort of sense. You can't talk about something, you can't communicate something about an elephant. So there's no elephant. You can't designate it. You can't speak about it. So God brought the animals to Adam HaRishon, right? That Adam, the Od Ma'ikra Lo, the Kol Asher Yikra Lo HaAdam, Nevesh Chaya Hu Shemo. And everything that man called it became its name. I guess that's what it means. V'kra Lo HaAdam, Nevesh Chaya Hu Shemo. Pasuk Kaf, Vayikra Adam Shemot LeKol HaBehema UleOv HaShamayim, that God created a man, gave them all names. He gave them all names. After he gave them names, you could talk about them, right? Without, like, if you didn't know it was called an elephant, so you could never communicate about it. If you wanted to say something about the elephant, what would you say? So this somehow, these psukim are an added definition to the place of man in the created world. First of all, you could say, as some have said, that this is an act of completion. There is this idea that the world was created and certain things were not exactly finished. Not quite finished, but it was given over to man to finish them. There was some kind of unfinished nature to the world, which was going to finish. So this idea, I mean, like, why did God not give names to these creatures? Why weren't they created with names? Well, because man was supposed to participate and make these things happen. Okay. That's what it says in the parasha of Bereshit. Now, in the parasha of Noach, there's another story, and that story is the first thing on the sheet. Vayhi ka pasuk aleph. Vayhi kol ha'aretz safa achat udvarim achadim. Dvarim achadim means echad. They all spoke, the people in the world, after the creation, all spoke the same language. It was the language of creation. It was the language of creation. Dvarim achadim. Dvarim achadim. Rashi says, you see the Rashi, Dvarim achadim, ba'u be'etza achat. Ba'u be'etza achat. That's Dvarim achadim. Things of oneness. Things of oneness. Dvarim achadim. Then the pasuk bet says, "Vayhi binasam mikedem." A kedem is the east. When they came, the people came from the east. What's in the east? Could be Gan Eden. Could be Gan Eden. But it doesn't say. Doesn't say. Rashi says, "Vayhi binasam mikedem." Shayu Yoshvim Shah, they would dwell there. Kedichtiv Limala, the Pasuk says, Vayhi Moshevam Har Hakedem. Venasumi Sham Latulahem Lakom Lachaziket Kulam. The Raja says they went away from that place because they needed space. Velo Matsu Ela Shinar. And the only place they could live in was a place called Shinar. We call that Bavel. But Shinar and Bavel are the same, at least for us. So again, the Pasuk says, Vayhi ben asam mikedem, for some reason, they left Kedem, the east, and they were looking for room, you know, room. Vayim tzu'u bik'a be'eret Shinar v'yeshu sham. They found a valley in the land of Shinar, which is Bavel, v'yeshvusham. Pasuk Gimel, v'yemru ish al re'ehu hava nilbana l'veinim v'nisrifa l'srifa v'atehi lahem ha'levena la'eben v'cheimar haya lahem l'chomer. So they said to each other, they were talking about what should they do. I mean, obviously none of these people had a job, so they had they were looking for something to do. So what was the decision? Like, what was it that they decided they wanted to do? He said, that's in Pasuk Dalet. Look at Pasuk Dalet. Vayomru. And all these people are speaking to each other. Right? They're all speaking to each other. That means they all understand each other. They all understand. I mean, even though they have different lineages, they have different parents and grandparents, but they're all somehow together. They're all together. Hava nivnelanu ir migdal v'roshob v'shabayim. Let's build a city. And in that city we're going to build a tower. And the tower will reach up to heaven. V'naselanu shem. Naselanu shem. Again. Hashem told Adam HaRishon to give the animals and whatever else is in the world a name. Well, I don't know anything about the nations of the world, but here we see that they were interested in also having a name. Nashel Anoshem could mean we'll become famous, we'll become special, but the words themselves are about a name. So these people who are not, I guess, Adam HaRishon, we'll see that later, and whoever his family was, they wanted to become, to get a name. Right? Rosh HaBashabat Nasei Lanu Shem. Pen Nafutz Al Pnei Kol Ha'aretz. Nafutz, it will kind of get blown up. Like the word Tzatza in modern Hebrew will spread out, it will blow up and be spread out over the whole world. And so they had this idea that they didn't want to be separated. They wanted to stay together. For some reason they came from the east, and they came more to the west, and they wanted to be together. They wanted to have some sort of shame that would be common to all these people. And then Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Hashem, Ein Am Echad V'Safa Echad L'Kulam, V'Zeh Hachilam La'asot, Ata Lo Yivatzer Mehem Kol Asher Yazmu La'asot. Shem Echad, God said, Ein Am Echad V'Safa Echad. They speak one language, all these people. This is the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem, they come up with this crazy idea that they want to build a tower that goes up to heaven. And why do they want to build a tower that goes up to heaven? Because they wanted to, Chazal say, they wanted to cut off the rakia that separated the world that we know from the world of God. And they said, why should we be relegated? Why should we be relegated to the lower world? We could take part in the higher world. And all we have to do is build a tower. All we have to do is get there somehow, get a ladder, get up to the higher world. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, according to the Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Hashem, Hein Am Echad B'Safa Achad L'Kulam. This is the problem. They all speak the same language. They all speak the same. Because they speak the same language, they can get together and come up with this crazy idea that they're going to go up to heaven. It's definitely a crazy idea. Or today, from our point of view, Zachilam La'asot. That's what got them involved in all of this. All these things, like they're going to be able to do it. We're like nervous about the achievement of people who want to get to heaven and become on a par with the heavenly angels, or whatever is in heaven, except for God. Pasuk Vav, Hava Neirda, let's go down, right? This word, this verb, Neirda, Yarad, is sometimes used in connection to God's appearing in the world. It happened with Yaakov Avinu, Neirda, Ve. Navlasham svatam asher lo yishmu ish svat re'ehu. We're going to solve this problem. Here we are. We like you go to shul, like if you go to America, you go to shul, and so there's a rabbi. You can't have a shul without a rabbi. That's only in Israel. But in America, you can't have a shul without a rabbi because who's going to turn out the lights? So you have a rabbi. The rabbi gets up, and what does he say? Shalom. Peace. We've got to get together. We've got to be friendly. We've got to be happy with each other. That's what he says. It doesn't matter what happened last week. Terrible things could have happened. He's still going to say, we've got to be peaceful. We've got to be happy. We've got to be together. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven identifies the problem in the world as being friendly. They're friendly. I mean, how can we put up with a world where people are friendly? So there is a solution to the friendliness, and the solution to friendliness is we'll mix up the languages. They won't be able to talk to each other. If you can't talk to each other, it's going to make it more difficult. It'll make it more difficult to be friendly. You know, like if everybody, so not everybody can get out of a lack of knowledge of a language, right? When you meet up with somebody, it's not so easy. It's difficult. Everybody knows. Everybody who came on Aliyah knows that it's difficult. It's difficult to give up the language that you learned when you were a child and let a different language take over. It's very difficult. So that's what Hava near their dav and near Lesham Svatam Asher Lo Yishvu Isvatre Ehu. This is what happened. This is a turning point in world history, according to the Chumash. The turning point in world history was we went from a state where we all understood each other. We knew what we were saying. So if we said, let's go build a tower, let's take over heaven, let's become part of the higher world and not just have to be relegated to staying down here where we are. So that was what. So the Bilbel et Svatam produced a great change in the world. The second time that this great change was produced, at least according to the Rambam, the second time was when the Jews came back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. They came back from Babel, but more or less with Ezra. That's the name that most people associate with what is called today Shivat Zion. Yes? Shivat Zion, the Jews came back from Babel. The rulership passed over to the Persians from the Babylonians, and the Persian king Cyrus, Koresh, he said, let the Jews go back, it'll be good for us. Us Persians, we'll be able to raise the money, we'll be able to keep them under control. I mean, that was always a problem in the old days. It remains a problem today. Like, nobody knows how much having control over Afghanistan really matters. So you could disagree about that. So the Rambam says, he wants to explain why there was a change in the world. That if you read the Tanakh, everybody davens. Everybody can turn to God and daven and complain and argue and talk, right? Up to Shivat Zion, right? The books of Shivat Zion are Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Those are the last prophetic works of Treyasar. Treyasar means they are short. They're relatively short books. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are the prophets of the return to Zion. At that time, somehow, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, I mean, I'm not making it a movie, I'm just telling you highlights. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah created Shmona Esrei. So the Rambam says, the Rambam asked, why do they have to create Shmona Esrei? In the Tanakh, everybody davens. They don't use the same words to daven. You feel a need, you want to have a connection, you daven. It's like a natural thing. It's a natural thing that people who believe in God would turn to God for help and support. That's what the Rambam thinks. So why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the great assembly, why did they make Shmona Esrei? By the way, so the Rambam has a reason, has a rationale. His rationale is when the Jews came back from Babylonia, it was really under the aegis of the Persians, but they had spent the exile time under the Babylonian leadership. So when they came back from Babylonia, they realized that they didn't know how to speak Hebrew too well. They had become kind of illiterate. They weren't able to daven because they couldn't get the words out. You know, I don't know what it has to do, but you know, the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah asks this question. If you don't know Hebrew, can you daven in a vernacular? Which I think means a different language. Right? I know under that there's somebody. it was an entrance.
My hearing is on. I can't.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So the I mentioned this several times. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you could daven in Hebrew, even if you don't understand the words, you should daven in Hebrew. If you could say the words, because the words contain mysteries and different things, so you should say. You should say we've gotten so involved with that idea that if you had to daven an extra time, so most people would suggest you just read Tehillim. It doesn't matter what the Tehillim are about. It's like a kind of a contest. You know, see how many Prokim of Tehillim you can say. That's called davening, even though the Tehillim are often difficult. It's often difficult to know what the Tehillim are talking about. But that's a different matter. So the Rambam says when they came back from Persia, Babylon, Persia, they were not able to daven in Hebrew. They weren't able, but everything they davened came out as a mixture. They kept putting in words that had nothing to do with Hebrew. And so the Anshei Knesset HaGdola wrote a text of Shmoneh Esrei that everybody could use. So these are the two times in Jewish history, when the knowledge of a language, became very, 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 very important. Now you know that the last pasuk, Rashi says, the pasuk says, Al Ken Karashma Bavel, Kisham Balal Hashem, Sfat Kol Haaretz, Umisham Hefisam. That's why they're called Bavel. The word Bavel is very similar to the word Balal, even though Bavel is Bet Bet Lamed and Balal is Bet Lamed Lamed, but still, it sounds almost the same. The two words sound almost the same if you say them quickly, right? Balal Hashem, what?
Which means to confuse, is very similar sound.
Yeah, well, there's another word in Hebrew, another form called bilbel,
yeah.
Right? Levalbel. Levalbel means to confuse, and it's a four-pronged shoresh, like, you know, if you still know what a shoresh is. Bet lamed, bet lamed. There are shoreshim like that in Hebrew, but you could argue that it's an expansion of a three-letter shoresh. And then you don't know if it's bet lamed lamed or bet bet lamed, but it could be both. In different situations, it could be both. But that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says that God called it Bavel, Kisham Balal Hashem Svat Kol Haaretz, or Misham Efisam Hashem Al Pnei Kol Haaretz. So you have these two moments in history, right? Bavel in Parshat Noach. And the Rambam's understanding of how Shmoneh Esrei came to be that, and they both say that the lack of knowledge, of language, the inability to express yourself was a kind of a tikkun, I mean, in Migdal Bavel. It fixed something, it made it impossible for the world to act in the way they acted at that time, and that was good. Whether it wasn't exactly a punishment, but it was a refinement of the creation, right? The creation should have been done with the creation should have been finished by God, but it really wasn't finished here in Migdal Bavel. It became finished when the different languages for the different groups became part of reality. That was finished. Then it was finished. So I would like to. If you turn the page, I think, if you turn the page, right? So I'll stop with that. We'll go to a slightly different topic. You know that Hebrew is called Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh. But it's not in the Chumash. Right? Not in the Chumash, or in the Tanakh. Those two words together, but they appear in the Mishnah in Sota, towards the end of Mishnayot of Sota. They appear, they're Lashon HaKodesh. But what does that mean? What does Lashon HaKodesh mean? So there are two sources that you have to know. One is on the second page, the second side, he says, the Pasuk in Shmot, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Zeyitnu Kol Over Al HaPkudim, this is the amount that everybody should donate, you know, as they are counted. Machzit HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. Should I say that again? Machzit HaShekel, you give a half a shekel, and that's how you know how many Jews there are in the world. You count the number of half shekels, and you know. But what is B'Shekel HaKodesh? What is Shekel HaKodesh? He's taking the shekel out of his pocket. He may have like won it in a one-armed bandit in Las Vegas. So what's a Shekel HaKodesh? What could that possibly be? But again, I didn't finish the sentence before. The Shekel, the Lashon HaKodesh appears in the Mishnah. Right? The Shekel HaKodesh appears in the Chumash. But what's a Shekel HaKodesh? What does that mean? So if you look at the Ramban, right next to the Pasuk, Kavalo Moshe Rabbeinu Madbea Kesev Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu somehow created a coin, Ki Melech Gadol Haya, he was a great king, Bikorala Madbea Hu Shekel, and he called that coin that he minted, he called it a shekel. Ba'avu Shekola Madbea B'Mishkal Shalem. Shekel is connected to the word mishkal, weight. In those days, the coins were actually add value, not like today. I mean, it's just by imagination today. If you take a shekel and you buy bubble gum, like yet you're doing something, it's only because both the buyer and the seller imagine that they're getting something, that you could do this. This is like a sign of great achievement. It was a sign of great achievement, but it wasn't so long ago, in our time, it wasn't so long ago that coins had real value. Even paper money had real value for a while. Like coins, they had gold coins and silver coins, that meant that you had gold and or silver in the coin so that if you'd melt it down and take it out, you'd get real value. Like if you take a shekel, an Israeli shekel, and you melt it, you don't get anything except a mess. But I remember it was always a problem on when we were looking for the machzit shekel, or you're looking for a pinyon, a bed, you're looking, before they took care of it, of course, in a certain way, you couldn't find coins. It was very hard to find coins that had value intrinsically, not just so. Of course, you know, you could argue, well, that's called value, and it doesn't have to be intrinsic, you know. But I remember that paper money, there was a time when it had a string of silver in it. You could hold it up to the light that you see this like a string in the paper money, which was the value, had the value of the paper money. Which you can only do this kind of thing, of course, if everything stays the same. You know, if there's no inflation or deflation, or like, but we got to the point where we love to have inflations, or the opposite, so they had to cut that out. So this is what he's talking about. He says, Kara matbea hu shekel, bavu shekola matbea b'mishkal shalem. Shekel equals mishkal. Mishkal is weight. That the weight of the coin was always perfect. Ein bo pachot v'lo kesef. Sigim. He says it doesn't have less than the proper weight, and it doesn't have any unnecessary things in the coin itself, the sigim. Ubavur shemishkalei ha'arachin upidyon ha'bechor b'madbeya ha'hu shehem kodesh. He says, after all, we need to know. We have to get a proper coin for pidyon ha'ben. We have to have a proper coin for other things. V'chein kol shiklei ha'mishkan. And everything connected to the mishkan was also in shekel. V'chein kol kesev katsuv ha'amur ba'torah yikra lo ha'katuv shekel ha'kodesh. So he says, that's what shekel ha'kodesh means. So that the Ramban has taught us that they really are holy coins, but they are only the coins that are used for holy purposes. They're not the coins that are used regularly. But so a coin can, according to Ramban, I guess, can do both. It can be a regular coin, and it could be a shekel HaKodesh. What makes it a shekel HaKodesh is what it's used for, the way you use it, not how it's made. Not, at least not according to the Ramban. V'chein ha'tam etzli b'mesh sherabotenu koim l'shon ha'torah l'shon ha'kodesh. The reason that the Chachamim call it l'shon ha'kodesh shehu mipnei shedirei ha'torah v'hanevuot v'kol direi kedusha kulam b'lashon ha'hu ne'emru. So the Ramban says, why is it called Lashon HaKodesh in the words of Chazal? Why did Chazal call it Lashon HaKodesh? Because the Torah is written in that language, and the Nevi'im spoke in that language, and so it makes sense to call it Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh. So that means that Lashon HaKodesh was invented with Yitziat Mitzrayim. Because the Torah was invented with Yitziat Mitzrayim, actually. I mean, you can disagree, but let's not do it too violently. The Torah, the first mitzvah, Rashi, the first Rashi in the Torah is, how come the Torah didn't start from the first mitzvah? Because the Torah is a book of mitzvot. And Rashi is right. And he remains right. The first mitzvah is a Chodesh Zelachem. The first mitzvah was about Kiddush HaChodesh, you know, the sanctification of the new moon, Kiddush HaChodesh, and that took place right after Yitziat Mitzrayim. That was taught to the Bnei Yisrael. And even though the Torah, the written Torah, was formulated over the 40 years in the desert, or the 38 years in the desert, it started, according to Rashi, it started with the Torah started with the first mitzvah that was given. It's true that the Torah of Bereshit, of the words of Bereshit, is very important, but Rashi himself says that it would be reasonable to put in the Torah of mitzvot first, and there was just some extraordinary reason that we have the other part of the Torah starting off. But we've talked about that. So that's what the Ramban says. He says, Kedusha, the word Kedusha is a way of describing how the words are used. And if they're used for mitzvot and for Torah, then of course it makes sense to call them Kadosh. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim disagrees. If you look at the Moreh Nevuchim, you see on the first page, Guide for the Perplexed 3:8. That's us. We're the perplexed, and we could use a guide. So the Rambam, it's a very big book, the Guide to the Perplexed. It has covers a lot of topics. And so if you've never looked at it, I can't tell you whether you should look at it or you shouldn't look at it. But if you have looked at it in the past, you can look at it again. And this is what the Rambam says. You look at the second paragraph. And the first paragraph is also interesting, but the second paragraph. I have also reason and cause for calling our language the holy language. Lashon Kadosh. Do not think it is exaggeration or error on my part. It is perfectly correct. The Hebrew language has no special name for the organ of generation in females or in males, nor for the act of generation itself, not for semen, not for secretion. The Hebrew has no original expression. I hope you're following this, unless you want me to translate it into Hebrew. These things, it only describes them in figurative language and by way of hints, as if to indicate thereby that these things should not be mentioned and should therefore have no names. I'll say that again. And should therefore have no names. It was according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, the language that we use, the language that we speak, filters out things that we shouldn't think about, that we shouldn't talk about, and we shouldn't. It is the language itself is tsanua, and that tsniut in the language is something that dominates the language, and those things that are filtered out are things that should have no name, which to me connects back to Bereshit. You see, it says that Adam HaRishon was charged with naming things, but it doesn't say how many things he named. He said Chayot and Behemot and Tziporim, that he named. But what didn't he name? What didn't he name? What words were not part of the language? So the Rambam says, all these things that I'm talking about have no names. We ought to be silent about them. And when we are compelled to mention them, we must manage to employ for that purpose some suitable expressions. Although these are generally used in a different sense, it obviously sort of like have to be poetry. You know, to write Shir HaShirim, you have to be poetically inclined, because a lot of words are missing. So if you go back to the first source on the page, Vayomru hava nivne lanu ir migdal v'rasho b'shamayim v'natzel lanu shem. It became a topic. They wanted to have a name. They wanted to have a name. So there weren't enough names. Adam HaRishon didn't give the world enough names. And they wanted more names. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to contradict divine authority. They wanted to do that and get a name for themselves. And get a name for themselves. So I just want to mention this. On Yontif and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Shmona Esrei, we say this phrase, V'romamtanu mikol halashonot. Romamtanu, you made us, you exalted us, you raised us higher than all the other languages. Now, of course, what does that mean? I mean, why is that in the tefillah? Why is that in the tefillah? Okay, I mean, after all, the tefillah is written in Hebrew. So the Hebrew, as we have said, you know, the Hebrew of the tefillah is very significant. So when I asked my grandsons, who happened to be at the table, and they're very clever, so I said to them, what does that mean, Ramatana Mikol HaShonot? So they said, Lishonot means nations. Lishonot, people who have a language. So Ramatana, we're higher than all the Lishonot. So I said, so I asked them, I mean, how are they higher? And what's higher about us? Ramatana Mikol HaShonot. So it seems to me that what that means is that the effect that Adam HaRishon had on creation remained through the story of Migdal Babel, of the building of the Tower of Babel. That means that the Adam HaRishon was not somehow part of this idea that we should build a tower that goes up to heaven. The Adam HaRishon had nothing to do with that. And what it says in the pasuk that they all went from the east westward, that's not Adam HaRishon. He just left Gan Eden, but he was nearby. He was in that area, which is east of Eretz Canaan, right? East. For the rest of the people, they went to the west, and they tried to set up an independent kind of authority west of Gan Eden. Gan Eden is something to do with the rivers, right? The Prat and the Chidekel. Those rivers designate somehow the boundaries of Gan Eden. So they're eastward. And these people went westward. And so you had... What?
From Mekedem, that's where you get westward?
From Kedem. Yeah, Kedem is east.
So Mekedem.
From the east, they went to the west. From the east, they went to the west. So Ramam Tano Mikol Al Shanot means that the definition of Am Yisrael, I mean, of course, there's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, and, right? But the definition, ultimately, of Am Yisrael became Romam Tanu Mikol HaLashonot, because we were the only ones who maintained a connection. We maintained a connection to the world that Adam HaRishon made, the world that God wanted, or that God wanted us to be involved with. So that is Romam Tanu Mikol HaLashonot. So we see that that the language may be important, may be something worth thinking about. What Adam HaRishon did, and what the others did, the idea of Lashon HaKodesh, which is connected to the Torah, which could only be written in Hebrew because we didn't participate in the Migdal Babel. Otherwise, we'd be talking about other languages, because we know that when we came back from Persia to Eretz Yisrael, we had difficulty expressing ourselves, and therefore we couldn't daven. We couldn't get to the heart of it. We could daven, but you couldn't daven really in a superior manner. And that's why the Shmoneh Esrei was created. But still, the people who wrote the Tefillah, the people who wrote the Shmoneh Esrei of Yontiv, and the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they said, Rabam Tanu Mikol HaLashonot. You got to remember that. That's real. That's who we are. If you remember who you are, you're going to be able to daven. You'll be able to say, like, you know, what are you doing here? You know, I mean, that's a problem with davening, that if somebody takes it seriously, he or she is in big trouble, because, what are you supposed to do? Like, how do you daven? How do you make it something instead of just being regular? Well, you know, not particularly exciting. So this is all, the story of the Migdal Babel is the story of Am Yisrael as really relating to language, to Hebrew, to the language which became Lashon HaKodesh, either according to the Ramban, who said that Lashon HaKodesh means it had something to do with Kodesh, and according to the Rambam, it meant that we don't use that language for things that are not in the category of Kodesh, which we decide. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
What about Rav Kook?
What?
Rav Kook?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the time wrong. There's this thing, just to show you how things develop and change, there's this source, Rav Kook. Rav Kook wrote a book which was called Orot, right? And it's got a lot of different topics in it, and as is usual with Rav Kook, it's not always easy to know exactly what he's referring to. But he took up this question of language. He took up the question of language, and he said in one of the places, Kol ha-shon noveh mashkafa miyuchedet al ha-metziyut. You have a certain attitude to the reality of things, and that connects somehow to Lashon. According to the Rav Kook, Lashon Noveya, it pours out Behashkafa Miuchedit Ala Mitziyut, Hashkafa Shel Kodesh, an attitude that can be described as Kodesh, Al Hamitziyut Kula. Right, that you could see everything in the world as being Kodesh. He ha-hashkafa ha-yisraelit. This is the Jewish position. The Jewish position that everything could be Kodesh. Everything. And that's kol ha-shon. V'zot ha-hashkafa ha-miyuchedet. This attitude, special, cholela et l'shon ha-ivrit. This gave birth to Hebrew. He has a different attitude. It's not like the language is called Kodesh because it has a certain feature. The language is called Kodesh because we are the way we are. And so he says, Shehi Bezot Ashkafam Yuchedet Cholelet Et Alashon Ivrit. Shehi be'emet ha-safa ha-kdosha. Harichuk me'ashkafa ha-kdosha notel et ziv ha-safa. If you find that you are further away from sanctity, from the attitudes of sanctity, notel et ziv ha-safa. It takes away, it denies, it removes the gloss, the sharpness, the light of the language, v'afal pi sheyatifu hatafot rabot lechavevota, and even though somebody will come along, I mean, like he was probably talking about Ben Yehuda, and talk about how important it is to speak Hebrew and how important it is to be part of that world, he says, v'afal pi sheyatifu hatafot rabot lechavevota. People are going to say you have to learn Hebrew, you have to talk Hebrew, and you know, and to a certain extent they were successful. Shenirim hagunim, he says, that these arguments seem to be reasonable. Mikol makom betoch hamegama shel hachayim, right, within the purposefulness of life. Aponim achor lemeganat lemegimat hashkafa melea kodesh mistateret sham sina leruach hasafa. If you don't have that, if you're not concerned about sanctity, if you're not going to climb up that ladder to get to kodesh, so mistateret sham, hidden therein, sina, hate, L'ruach ha-safa, the spirit of the language, ha-malei et kol mahuta, which really is part of the essence of a language. Al-kein, ha-safa tiyeh brura. Therefore, conclusion, language can be clarified, is clear, rak ba'ota amida. That language becomes what it could be, right? If it's korei ba'olam b'shem Hashem, if you call out in the name of God, ha-ta'amim ha-pratiyim al-kedushat ha-safa mitkablim hem, right? Ta'amim, all the reasons that people give to use Hebrew and not use some other vernacular, al kedushat ha-safa mitkablim heim. They're good. Aval kulam einam ki im tzirufim el haklal. All of those things only come together with the rule shehu tchunat hashkafat olama beklala. So I say, it seems to me that this is the, like it's like geometry, calculus. Geometry, calculus. Even if you didn't study math, I'm going to make it easy. What are you asking geometry? Yes, how long is it? What's the volume of it? You could ask it about different kinds of shapes, but that's the idea of geometry. Calculus is about getting there. It's about the motion of getting to where you're getting. If you have this and you have that, what are you going to get if you do it? That's calculus. The Ramban and the Rambam, they were geometry. The Ramban said, well, there are certain mitzvot that you have to do, right? The Rambam said, well, certain words that you don't want to use, right? That's like, you can define those things very clearly. What did Rav Kook say? Rav Kook said, you have to make Lashon HaKodesh. It's not Lashon HaKodesh unless you make it. How are you going to make it? According to what he said, well, you've got to see it. It's got to be there. It's got to be there for you. And if it's there for you, it's Lashon HaKodesh. And if it's not there for you, it's not Lashon HaKodesh. That was the innovative statement of Rav Kook, I think. I mean, when I say innovative, I don't mean that I've read everything else written in the world. But I think that this is a nice idea, that Rav Kook's idea is helpful. Right? It's helpful to say that Rabam Tano Mikol HaLashonot is a potential. It's not about the fact that we are that way, but it's the fact that we could be that way. Right? That's Rabam Tano Mikol HaLashonot, that in the language, the Hebrew language, it could mean either. It could mean either. If somebody tells you that Rabam Tano Mikol HaLashonot means that's what could be, that's what you can become. So I think that you'd accept that. It's a reasonable interpretation. Rabam Tano Mikol HaLashonot could mean, like the Ramban or the Rambam, we are the way we are. And it could be, like Rav Kook, we have the potential to become more than it seems that we are. And that would be the okay, have a good Shabbos.